Have you ever felt so low that you had no hope of feeling better again? Have things ever felt so hard for you, or so consuming for you, or so unfair that you had no way of knowing which direction to go? We call things like this hopeless, depressed, rock bottom, anxious. Maybe anger would be tinted in there, but at the same time, anger kind of requires something of you, and sometimes we don't even have that energy. This is the kind of place where we have nothing left to give. I was once let go from a job from being a pastor, which I did not think was something that could happen unless you did something really wrong. I was wrong. They say getting fired is one of the hardest things that somebody can go through. One of the biggest weights that a marriage can have to bear. Up until that point, I just accepted that piece of data, that was true, but I did not really have tire on the road for it. And this season, I really came to understand it. This rejection from something that I loved and cared so deeply about, something that I felt so deeply called to, it hit me in places I didn't even know I had. It's like playing a sport for the first time. You wake up the next day and you realize you had muscles that you didn't know about because they hurt. Some days I was depressed. Others I was confused. I found myself at times stewing in anger or unmotivated. At other times, overmotivated to try to prove something to myself or other people. And on other days, I would just avoid folks out of shame. One broken situation can cause a lot of cascading broken responses and feelings and anything else. This was a broken situation. It was the result of a broken world. My response to the circumstances, that were really uncomfortable. They weren't always helpful. I've been surprised at how far-reaching some of these things can be within me, within some of my friendships. I also realized how much of my identity had been rested on being a pastor. I had to contend with that. But it was certainly a broken response that I had come to develop. I was also treated in a broken way, for sure. Things were hidden, obfuscated, judgments were made based on small details or limited perspective of success. Brokenness all around, big and small. And the implications of what this all meant just added extra layers of pressure. What do you do when you are faced with a broken situation, when you're involved in its brokenness, maybe you're even contributing to it? What do you do when you know brokenness within yourself, within your heart, within your body? The Vine is preaching through our recent statement of vision. Last week, Matt, if you wouldn't mind just putting, there we go. Last week, we explored the line, "We are following Jesus on a journey of hope." We learn that Jesus is himself the gospel. So this week, we get to look at that journey of hope and what it means that it is from our brokenness and towards healing, wholeness, and restoration. Here's my assertion. To receive gospel healing, we must pursue our brokenness. To receive gospel healing, we must pursue our brokenness. Here's a working definition of brokenness before we dive into our gospel passage. Something that is no longer working as it should. Highly theological, that one. If you'd like, turn in your bulletin to the passage from our gospel reading from Matthew's gospel. Verse 2 says, some men brought to him, to Jesus, a paralyzed man lying on a mat. This is one of those stories that's in the three synoptic gospels, and Luke and Mark both give a little more color to what's going on here. This is the same story where this man is brought on a mat to the top of a house. The roof is torn off of it just so they could lower him in. This is a serious, visceral, kind of tense situation. Close your eyes and imagine with me for a minute being in the room. You don't know how the story is going to end. You had come to hear Jesus speak, and that gets interrupted all of a sudden. It's maybe sweaty and crowded. And this was an audacious move to tear the roof off, as Mark says. It's audacious without the roof, bringing this man on a mat and placing him before Jesus. What's Jesus supposed to do with this hopelessly broken man? There's discomfort here. There's a sense of helplessness in the room. How are you feeling? How do your feelings change if you are the man on the mat? Are you hopeful? Are you a little embarrassed? Maybe you're thinking, I said okay to my friends, but I didn't ask them to tear the roof off. Maybe you're afraid to get your hopes up. I'm not worth all this commotion. Lastly, step into Jesus' shoes. This person is here asking you for help, healing. Now, you're not Jesus, but you're in his shoes. Do you reject the ask because how do I help this person? How do I pray for this person? Maybe you pray a prayer that claims healing, whether it's true or not. Maybe you pray a more generic prayer because you're frozen in unknowing of how to handle this situation. This is a tense scene. It's filled with emotions that we experience all the time when we are faced with brokenness in the world and in ourselves. What will Jesus do faced with a man whose body is not working as it should? We'll return to that. But I know as I look around this room here today, there are physical ailments, paralyses, limitations that we all experience here. Things are not working as they should in our day-to-day life. Interpersonally, they're not working either. Governmentally, they're not working either. Individually, my own internal responses, they're not working as they should. In the world around us, addiction, hatred, objectifying of other people. This is true of the created world as well. Increasing severity of weather. Children born with physical limitations. I don't need to go on. We know there is brokenness in the world as we experience it. Again, our simple definition of brokenness, things that are not working as they should be, both in us and around us. But who gets to say how things should be? The Christian understanding of these things is that things are the way they are because of what happened at the very beginning. As the story goes, God created the world, and what did he call the world? Good. And then what did he go and do? He created humanity last. And what did he say about humanity? Very good. Do you know that you are very good? That's how God created you. Because you are unique in all of the world. Humanity is unique in all of creation. Why? Because God puts his image in our DNA, our blood, our hearts, our minds, so that we are given God's sensibilities, God's love, God's creativity, God's desire to cultivate the world. And that's exactly how it should have been. Us bringing that beautiful cultivation to the world in relationship with the creator of the world, who knows how it works. This is the beautiful way that creation should have worked. God did not create the world and then step back. He's integrally a part of it through our relationship with him. This is why this is what we ache for when we experience brokenness of any kind, is a world working as it should be, not like this or that. This is what it means to be human, to be with God and his image and bearing it to the world. I don't want to hear any more of this, you know, I make a mistake, well, I'm only human. No. To be human is a glorious thing. And yet, we know the Genesis story, the apple, or whatever it was, when my professor said it was a persimmon, fine, was taken and eaten. Sin. Big, heavy word. At its core, it just means missing the mark. It's what you would use in archery when you pull back and you shoot at the target and you miss it. Sin. So what are we missing here? Sin is a missing out on being human. Brokenness is the result of being dehumanized by the way the world is working and by our own choices. Being in the world without concern for God, that's what the apple depicts. That's what it means to be dehumanized, is to strike out on our own. And it has cascading, dehumanizing effects. The first broken thing in the world is our relationship with the God who created it and who loves us desperately. And this brokenness spread with compounding speed, like a fire lit on a dry, windy day. It's kind of like this picture of my kids that I asked Matt to put up here. This was a tent that my girl Esther got for her birthday recently. And I love my boys there. They got the tent, Esther was excited, and they just furiously went after putting this thing together. And they did it all on their own, no helps whatsoever. They did it without any instructions, even though instructions were included. And it's great. I honestly love how tenacious my boys are about building something and just going after it. But the instructions are important. I don't know if you would notice, but this actually got built for the first time inside out. So there's the structure there, and if you can see that all the ties around it are tied onto the corners. Now that's fine in and of itself, it still looks nice. You can get in, there's a little bit less space than you might have otherwise, but that's fine. After a while, we noticed that some of the ties were sort of starting to pull off a little bit, didn't we, David? Yeah, they're pulling off a little bit because they actually weren't meant to bear the weight of the cloth. They were meant to just tie it from the outside onto the bars there. And then that would also have given space for those lights to be put around a little bit more evenly than it was, and it would have made it easier to take it down, collapse it, and move it from room to room. Now, I couldn't do this at their age. This is amazing how they built this and put it together. But when we're disconnected from the instructions and from the way that something is meant to work perfectly, there are some things that may not go quite as well. And we try to live with it. We kid ourselves about how bad it is. But ongoingly, we realize more and more the ways that we're pinched and that something isn't working in the way that it should. We were out of step with the world's creator. Out of the gate, who loves us. And the world has been on a course of breaking ever since. So much so that we experience brokenness to a degree that we can't even really tell where it originated from. So much of the brokenness we experience is done to us, though often enough we participate in broken decisions. So, how does Jesus respond to this broken body in front of him? It's a little bit awkward, honestly. Take heart, child. Your sins are forgiven. I don't think he asked for his sins to be forgiven, Jesus. What's going on here? We'll return to what's going on here in a moment. But remember that as we follow Jesus on a journey of hope, that journey is from our brokenness, which means missing the mark of being human, of being made in God's image. We cannot be rehumanized if we can't accept the ways that we have been dehumanized. We can't know healing if we can't receive the brokenness. Out of brokenness, a journey of hope from our brokenness. Last week, we learned that Jesus is himself the gospel and that hope begins with groaning, noticing that something is wrong. Similarly, we are unlikely to receive the healing that we so long for without first receiving the particulars of our brokenness. The journey out of our brokenness is described in our statement of vision. Here, I'm going to ask you to throw that back up there, Matt. With these words, from our brokenness toward healing, wholeness, and restoration. This gives us a great, simple way of understanding what this journey of following Jesus is really like. For the vine, moving towards healing, wholeness, and restoration is really key. We recognize that we will never be perfectly healed, whole, or restored this side of Jesus returning. But that doesn't mean that our journey isn't from our brokenness and towards some healing. Towards means that grace is given to us all along the path of following Jesus. Journey of hope from our brokenness towards healing, wholeness, and restoration. This means we'll continue to be unafraid of the journey. Unafraid of discovering the ways that we have sinned, big and small, whether somebody else saw it or not. But it also means that we're unafraid of discovering the ways that we have been sinned against and reckoning with the ways that that has shaped us. We've looked previously in a course called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality about even our family history dynamics, the ways that we're shaped by patterns both healthy and not healthy. Ways that we have learned to cope that might be keeping us from the fullness of life that Jesus has for us. The vine will continue to diligently pursue together. How are the ways that we are kept from fullness of life because of the brokenness that we experience? Towards healing. Now, healing is a great place to start because healing is oftentimes a particular limited fix to a particular expression of brokenness. Jesus would go on to physically heal this man, and he would go on to walk and live his life. But he's not walking now. Everybody dies. This man experienced healing, but it was still only a temporary thing. Healing is a limited and particular fix to a particular brokenness. Jesus heals many people as a sign and an image of what it means to be a part of his kingdom. It's very upsetting, I know. Jesus is healing left and right. In fact, this is in a cluster of 9 healings in the 9th chapter of Matthew's gospel. Jesus is saying, this is what my kingdom's like, now in part, but in fullness in the future. And so we are called to pray for the sick constantly and expect that at times there will be miraculous healings and at times there will not be, because the kingdom is here only in part, only limited now, in full in the future. The vine will continue to pray when we're sick. The vine will continue to pursue healing in ordinary ways. If we have a deep need to figure out something that is not going on in a relationship, we'll pursue the problems. We'll find a therapist. We'll grab a small group. Maybe there's something going on that we can't see and we need medication for it. Whatever it is, healing is a part of what it means to follow Jesus. Out of our brokenness towards healing. And towards wholeness. Wholeness is a whole life and community kind of healing. This is kind of zooming out from what it means to pursue healing. We see this some in Jesus' response and in the story of our gospel story today. This man is brought in by friends who are carrying him. He is part of a greater whole. This is some of the wholeness that we're called to pursue. But we see it in spades in our Old Testament passage when we see all these different laws that are a glimpse of the way that we're meant to live. The Jewish culture would call this shalom. We translate that as peace. We kind of make it two-dimensional, but it actually means a whole life, all of life, synergy, healing, that kind of peace. Societally, God's people lived by laws because they wanted to make sure that they did as much work as possible to not leave others out from this kind of peace. Sabbath, because we're not meant to work tirelessly. Care of the foreigner, because we are all foreigners until God rescues us. Good business practices, we're not loan sharks. We're protective, not taking advantage of people who find themselves down and out. This is a glimpse of what wholeness and shalom is meant to be. Imagine what that would look like at the vine. For us to lean into wholeness together, to seek shalom together. What are the rhythms that we might lean into together as we seek more than just one-off pieces of healing, but a healed life together? I know the Practicing the Way small group recently studied through a rule of life together. This is intentionality around how we enter into life. How we do community together. What are my rhythms pointing me towards? How can I be more intentional about that? We have great examples of folks seeking wholeness for those around the county in our church. Certainly at Pathways, this is more than just a homeless shelter that feeds and houses. This is an organization that is pursuing fullness of life. Let's coach on some skills that might be challenging, or let's have a liaison with the government because something just seems to not be falling in place in the right way. Food and housing are a basic level of need that we're called to find for people. But we're meant to seek more so that folks can move out of the margins and experience not just healing, but wholeness of life. At the Vine, we will continue pursuing a way of being together that is rehumanizing. Not doing church like a business, but being a different way of being human here in Haywood County, seeking shalom for ourselves and for those around us. Lastly, towards restoration. I'll just say here, we can know healing, and we can even know greater wholeness of life without God. These are things that plenty of folks have great input on guiding us towards. This is not true of restoration. What are we being called to be restored to? Being human. The relationship that creation was drawing us into in the first place. This is a part of why Jesus makes this really odd response. Your sins are forgiven. Why? Because these are the things that keep us away from the relationship that we're meant to lean into and know flourishing of life through. That biggest problem that this man had actually wasn't his broken body, though Jesus cared deeply about that. The greatest need that he and all of us have is to be restored, secure in the relationship that we're all created for. As St. Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Our biggest need is to be restored. And this is where we'll know the kind of flourishing that we are created for, that will start to ring in our lives. I love the image of, I forget where I heard it the first time, of a 45-degree mirror. This is the calling of being an image bearer of God, that actually God's image is coming down and being, you know, reflected out into the world through us. But then we actually gather up all of the goods, the praise, the beauty of creation, and we worship God with it. This is what it means when Peter says in our New Testament letter that we are being remade into a kingdom of priests. To be a priest means just that, that we are a 45-degree mirror, reflecting God's image into the world, gathering up creation's praise to him. I love this image from the Rings of Power. So this is under a mountain. These are the dwarves here. And, you know, they have all this beautiful, lush farming and garden life under there. You can see a little bit here over on the right side. But to be able to grow all the food and produce that they needed, they had this really intricate series of mirrors that would catch a little bit of the light at the top of the mountain. And it would just ping, 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 ping down until it hit one of their gardens. And it would bring the life and the light that it needed to sustain them. This is like what our calling is as a church. To be this series of mirrors in our particular place, Haywood County. Flourishing as we are not only healed, not only made more whole, but being restored to what we are always meant to be. Priests in this world. Image bearers. The mirror has been broken, but it's being remade. Imagine a church that wasn't afraid of our brokenness and therefore didn't accidentally leave people out on the margins when they had a chronic illness or when they had something serious going on, maybe when they had made really poor decisions. We don't need to be afraid of brokenness. We're called to move towards it. Imagine a church where, because we are restored to this priestly place, that we don't focus so much on people getting it wrong. And we can comfort and guide and coach one another. Imagine a church that actually in a county like this is able to shine the light of restoration around us. We are not marked by how much or how little we do. We are marked by the God who loves us. And in that place of safety, we can begin to receive our unique, particular calling. This is what it means to follow Jesus on a journey of hope. To pursue healing, wholeness, and restoration, but to begin in our place of pursuing brokenness. We will receive grace further than the places that we discover broken things in our lives. This is what we get to do together. This is what it means to be the church. This is what it means to follow Jesus on a journey of hope towards healing, wholeness, and restoration. This is what we will continue to do together. So let's imagine that future for ourselves and for those that we love around us. Let me pray for us. Jesus, restore us afresh. And Lord, help us to know your particular calling on each one of us individually and on us as a community. Pour your healing in us. Come, Holy Spirit, and bring your powerful healing in this place. And do not let us hoard it. Send us out into the world in the power of your healing spirit, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.